Oh, it's a special privilege as we are in church together to read some more scriptures. And this morning, let's read first from Luke chapter 2, the great passage about Jesus' birth. And then we will also read from 2 Corinthians 9, verses 7 to 15. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 to 15. But first, Luke 2, 1 to 20. And may God bless this very familiar passage to us. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, when they had seen him, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. And then we go to 2 Corinthians 9. And we pick it up at verse 7. And our text will be the very last verse of this passage. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's saying, he's talking about giving for the cause of the Lord. "Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, 'He has dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever.' Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want or the need of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution to them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift." So we want to think about rightly responding to that unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ. So after the preaching, I invite you to sing with me Psalter 319, stanza 1, 2, 5, and 1. So we'll do it in that order, 1, 2, 5, and 1. Dear congregation belonging to Christ, this Lord's Day is special for at least two reasons. And all of you will guess one reason. That is that into our society today, it's also Christmas Day. There's another reason why. And that's the fact that it's the last Sunday of the year, 2016. How wonderful that on this day we are given one more opportunity to gather as Christian church to worship the Lord. In fact, this Christmas Day, we're privileged, you can say, we can worship twice, if that's possible for us. We can come to church twice to exalt the Lord for His wonderful mercies and ultimate gift of love in sending His Son to be the Savior. We have read again that familiar passage of Luke 2, telling the incredible glad tidings of good things, of great joy, which were told to the shepherds that night long ago. Fear not, they were told by the angel of the Lord, for I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I really like what I read from one preacher who said, as theme for his sermons today, we see with Jesus' birth a big God for little people. And then for the afternoon sermon, his theme was, we see a little baby for big sinners. And that's the gospel truth. We have a big God for little people, a little baby for big sinners, with Jesus come to this world. Sometimes people who hardly go to church come on Christmas Day. And that's good if they come that day too. This morning, let's think about what it really means that Jesus came from the perspective of the Apostle Paul from 2 Corinthians 9. This afternoon, we will consider more thinking of Jesus' second coming. Because if we really worship God for His first coming, it'll show in anticipating with eagerness His second coming. Is that true for each one of us here this morning? To help us answer that truthfully, let's look at what Paul does say indeed in 2 Corinthians 9:15 with Jesus' first coming and reflecting on that. Very simply but profoundly, as we read, the Apostle Paul exclaims there, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Notice with me, Paul here clearly treasuring Christ above all and thanking God always and promoting the gospel gladly. Those will be three thoughts we have this morning. Responding to God's gift of Christ rightly and with rejoicing means at least three realities. Treasuring Christ above all, thanking God always, and promoting the gospel gladly. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. In what way does this statement of Paul reflect him treasuring Christ above all? Well, to answer that, we need to think of the context of this verse. And in the context, what is Paul doing? Well, you know that in the letters of the apostles in the New Testament, often they were giving necessary teaching and instruction to the churches. And in this part of the letter to the church in Corinth, Paul was writing about the churches giving for the cause of the Lord. And one study Bible mentions as opening summary explanation of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, quote, Paul here encourages the church to be ready for the collection, for helping others in need. And he instructs them in the importance of cheerful giving. End of quote. Yes, that really is the main thrust of 2 Corinthians 9. But now notice, in conclusion of it all, the apostle ends with a prayer of praise and thanksgiving for Christ, God's ultimate gift to this world and for His people, come as Savior. When Paul speaks of the church giving for the needs of others, he can't help but then think especially of how God sent His Son and gave Him to serve to rescue us from sin and Satan and death and hell. What is the most famous verse in the Bible? You know it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Paul, in all his ministry, in every situation, he kept coming back to this gospel riches and nugget of God sending His Son to serve as Savior of sinners. As one put it, he sees Christ in and behind everything. And whenever and wherever he could, the apostle, he would draw attention back to Him, Jesus Christ, the Savior. In the context, Paul is saying, with all our giving, we need to think of the great gift, which really inspires any real giving from us. Paul treasured Christ above all in this way, you see. The Apostle Paul knew and experienced all true and everlasting blessings for us come to us in and through Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us this over and over, doesn't it? How it's through Christ that we may receive blessings for soul and body. And how apart from Christ, really, we can't truly be blessed. And this is what's behind this is the reality of our sins and sinfulness. And you know, all true celebration of Christ's coming can't be done without confessing our sins and sinfulness. Jesus came to be Savior, to save His people from their sins. And over, this comes across in the Bible. Think of Paul's words in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, he says. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. What makes Jesus' first coming so precious beyond words is that in and with Him, we have the long-promised Messiah, Savior, given by God, who is both willing and able to bring about complete salvation for all sin, for all His people, for all who trust and follow Him. Jesus came to pay the just punishment for sin that we deserve of ourselves, which explains His death, His cursed death on the cross of Calvary. All His life here on earth, Jesus, while suffering the punishment for sin, which climaxed with His last week on earth, at the same time, He lived a perfectly sinless life. In the place of people like us, He lived that in this sinful world. Just amazing. And so with His once for all offering as Savior, Jesus Christ made a way for us to be rid of all our sins and our sinfulness and to be perfectly righteous before God in and through Him as substitute. That's the gospel in a nutshell. And the Apostle Paul, with the other disciples, called all people to repent of sin and to believe in this Savior and His gift of salvation. And again, they pointed to this. And speaking of this same Savior, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8:32, God, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? You see, all that you and I ever need that is good for us, for this life, and for the life to come, we may ask for and receive freely from the Savior and His perfect finished work. No good thing does the God withhold from those that trust and follow Him. And the Lord guarantees to us Jesus' saving work, also with Jesus' resurrection from the dead and His ascension 40 days later. That confirms to us He is the Savior of sinners we can rely upon. Well, always Paul had this in mind and heart in everything he did and wherever he went as missionary preacher and to whoever he ministered to. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift, referring ultimately to Christ. This statement expresses Paul treasuring Christ above all. One other way we see Paul here so treasuring Christ above all is just in the way he describes Christ. How does the apostle describe Christ in the text? Well, as God's unspeakable gift. Now, that's an old word, really. You would say today, inexpressible gift or indescribable gift. Christ is a gift from God beyond all telling. How infinitely precious and valuable He is. Related words would be like unsearchable or unfathomable or inexhaustible or overwhelmingly infinitely wonderful or infinitely precious and priceless. Oh, the reality, dear congregation, of the gift of God's Son sent to this fallen world to serve as Savior. He is the gift above all gifts. The gift of endless worth. During these weeks, with the advertisements for Christmas shopping, you no doubt heard too expressions like, buy this gift of a lifetime. Or, get this unforgettable gift. Or, purchase this dream gift. Or, why not buy this most meaningful personal gift? And what about this love gift? Or this treasured gift? Or this gift guaranteed to please? Or what about this gift of lasting value? Etc., etc. Yet no earthly gift, however advertised, can ever compare to this statement of 2 Corinthians 9:15, speaking of God's indescribable gift. The gift of His Son, come to seek and to save sinners. What and who can compare to Jesus Christ? The Bible tells us in different places, He is incomparable in person and worth and in character and in accomplishment in any and every way you want to compare Him or think of Him. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to Him? We read in Isaiah 40 verse 18. No one and nothing can ever measure up to Christ the Savior. Thinking of His excellency, His beauty, His value, His benefits, His treasure, His worth. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable or inexpressible, unfathomable gift, Paul says. Well, is this how you respond to Jesus Christ too? In and with His first coming, when born in Bethlehem. Didn't the adult shepherds so respond to Christ? And the mature wise men too? What about aged Simeon and Anna and Zechariah and Elizabeth and John the Baptist and all the apostles and yes, every true Christian of the past and in the present today? Christ becomes for God's people, as Paul puts it, all and in all. Colossians 3:11. Jesus the Savior is a gift of God, described in Ephesians 1:23 as the Savior that fills all in all. That's called Christ over all, God blessed forever, Romans 9:5. Christ, in other words, is the inexhaustible gift of God for us, in and through whom countless never-ending gifts for soul and body are poured out upon us, not only for this life, but also for the life to come. Christ is the gift that inspires all true giving, also on our part. That's what Paul knows and expresses in 2 Corinthians 9. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. In 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, the chapter before, the apostle speaks of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. He was made sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in and through Him. Yes, Jesus drank, we know, the cup of God's wrath against sin, especially on the cross. He did that in the sinner's place, that whoever believes in Him might drink from the cup of God's everlasting love and blessings in and through Christ's finished work. Well, are you today so treasuring this unspeakable or inexpressible gift of Christ, like Paul, who says in our text, with so much jubilation and joy and trust and repentance and triumph and anticipation, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. What is so very sad in this fallen world, and we even mentioned it in our prayer before service in our consistory room, how many people get caught up in just the far lesser and so much cheaper and non-lasting and never satisfying gifts from all the fading merchandise of this world, while ignoring and even rejecting the unspeakable, inexpressible gift of God as revealed to us in Christ. Do you know in Hebrews 2 verse 3, the inspired writer says there, "How shall we escape if we neglect or we ignore, despise so great salvation," or you could say, "so great Savior gift as we have in Christ and Him crucified and risen again?" And the implied answer of that question is, you know what? There is no escape for anyone from our guilt and sin, from our bondage and hopelessness, our certain condemnation and eternal punishment, except Jesus Christ be believed and received by us in spirit and truth. As I read this week, quote, "There is not one drop of gospel outside of the Lord Jesus Christ." That's what we believe as Christian church, don't we? There is not one drop of good news outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. This Lord's Day and Christmas Day 2016, this last Sunday of the year, are you treasuring Jesus Christ above all? Or will another year pass by where you basically ignore Him still, and maybe even just openly reject Him even? Oh, you might attend church, maybe because you have to. Or you do because, well, you don't mind. And singing about Him, especially also around this time of the year. But to submit to Christ Jesus wholeheartedly and to repent and believe, alas, you keep refusing to do that. Listen now, let there not be one among us, not one who's okay with Christianity, but never truly converted yourself. Certainly also today, the Savior calls, come to Him, asking for His mercy and for His grace for Jesus' sake. And most certainly and freely and immediately, you will find forgiveness of all your sins and everlasting life and everlasting righteousness from God. Oh, come, let us adore Him, we sing around this time of the year. Oh, come, let us adore Him, this inexpressible gift of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, as someone wrote, come to the Savior now. He offers all to you. And in His merits you have an unfailing plea. No vain excuses frame, for feelings do not stay. None who to Jesus came were ever sent away. Come to the Savior all, whatever your burdens be. Hear now His loving call. Cast all your care on Me. Come, and for every grief in Jesus you will find a sure and safe relief, a loving friend and kind. Well, we move fittingly from these words to our next point about how rightly responding to Christ and rejoicing in His first coming means not only treasuring Christ above all, but secondly, thanking God for Him always. Something is wrong when a Christian is not ever thankful for Christ the Savior. A Christian knows too, doesn't he or she, there's every reason and more for endless and boundless thanksgivings for Christ the Savior. Notice how Paul also explains what he does in 2 Corinthians 9. He says, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. The word can be translated, gratitude to God be to Him always for His unspeakable gift. Yes, thanks, past, present, future. Thanks now and forever. Thanks always and never ending. Thanks in thought, word and deed for Christ Jesus the Savior. Think of it, dear congregation. No gift has ever been so long in planning, nor any gift so loving, ever. Yes, we can certainly know in all world history there has never been a gift so thoughtful, so prepared, so self-sacrificing, so rich, so pleasing, so perfectly true, and so endlessly valuable, so everlastingly beneficial, so prized and treasured, so spoken about, so sung about, so praised, not only here but in glory forever. There's been no gift like this that's so absolutely free and yet so infinitely costly. No gift so much needed by everyone and so sincerely offered to all without distinction as the unspeakable gift of God in and through Christ Jesus, the Savior. Oh, here is a gift of endless worth calling for humble trust and hearty thanks now and forevermore. Let me be specific and give some reasons for thanks and giving thanks to Christ. Is there not so much reason to be thankful for Him, thinking and considering how when you and I need light in the darkness, He is that light, the light of the world. Thanks be to God. When you and I need forgiveness of sins, we find it in and with Him, who is able and willing to forgive all who come to Him as often as we come to Him. Thanks be to Him. If you need cleansing and renewal, a new start, a fresh start, well, Scripture proclaims that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and He washes us whiter than snow as often as we come to Him. Yes, through Christ and Him crucified, we may have find constant reconciliation and restoration. That's He's the source for that, for us. Thanks be to Him. And if you need reassurance of our everlasting justification before God, and if you need strength in present day sanctification before God and your neighbor, well, you may receive that from Christ. Says Paul, He is of God made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Thanks be to God. And Paul says in the passage we read from 2 Corinthians 9, He is able, God, to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You find it through Him, in Him, belonging to Him. And if you and I look for understanding and wisdom and strength living in these crazy times, well, the Bible says, for instance, in Proverbs 8, verse 14, speaking ultimately of Christ, counsel is mine. And sound wisdom, I am understanding, I have strength. Thanks be to God. And if you are looking for comfort in trials and sorrows and struggles of life, some of you have just recently lost loved ones. You look for comfort, you look for a truly listening ear and a helpful comforter, a reliable comforter. Well, go to God in Christ. He's called through Christ the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them who are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Thanks be to God, you see. And if you are looking for hope facing the future, also, in that way, is not God called the God of hope for us in and through Christ Jesus? Paul speaks of Him as Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27, and in Romans 5:13, 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And doesn't Paul also say to the Christians in Philippi, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, if you're looking for a friend that sticks closer than a brother, one who comforts you better than the best mother and is there for you more than the most faithful father here on earth, well, you find it with the Lord, with the Lord Jesus. Is He not also called the bridegroom for us, who never leaves us and who always will be there for us in His companionship and love? All this and more we find with Jesus, trusting and following Him. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. If you are anxious about death too, is this Jesus Christ not the one and only Savior who has gone before us? He's been in the tomb and He left the stone wall, the stone, heavy stone in front of the tomb, took it away. There's an exit from the grave now through Him. Our Savior Christ has abolished death, the Scripture says, and brought life and immortality to light through the Gospel, 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. And you know in 2 Corinthians 15, Paul speaks of how Christ has removed the sting of death through His death on sinners' behalf. And now all who live and die trusting Him are more than conquerors, even over death. Thanks be to God! Or perhaps maybe today you're worried about the future more, living in our unsettled times, thinking economically and socially and politically, also with the ruling authorities we have. But what do we know through Christ? He is the King of Kings. He reigns above all. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest regions shall His empire be. His is the power and the glory and the kingdom forever. Yes, that's what the Bible tells us about Christ. The Christ born in Bethlehem. Luke 1:33, He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. Thanks be to God. So we can be hopeful still, can't we? Maybe though for you, your struggle is especially as another year goes by and you face the future, your struggle is for right direction and for real purpose and motivation in life. A positive sense of accomplishment and contentment. Are you having a hard time in this regard? Maybe perhaps also as a younger person. Well, again, all right focus and real direction and contentment is found following after the Lord. Put Him first and the other things fall into place. The Bible teaches us and history proves it. Commit your way to Him and He shall direct your paths. We read in the book of Proverbs, while without the Lord Jesus, we can do nothing successfully. Really? Yet as Paul says, in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In every situation and temptation and challenge, also over Satan and the pressures of this evil world and our own flesh, well, Christ is the one who can help us and who leads His people rightly and victoriously. That's what the Bible teaches us, and Christians know it's true. We are fruit-bearing branches while we abide in Christ and His Word. That's still the gospel truth. Thanks be to God. Well, put all this together, you find with me, don't you, so many reasons to be thankful. So very thankful to God for Christ. It is splendid beyond words who Christ is as Savior. And all that is graciously and gloriously granted to us in and through Him. He is the gift that gives every gift that's good for us. And we may draw out of His fullness grace for grace. That means freely and fully, again and again. Not only as the year ends, but also as a new year comes. We don't need to fear that there's going to be a carbon tax that's going to limit this all. No, no. No carbon tax on the gospel. No way. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift, His indescribable riches in Christ, the Savior of sinners, for body and soul, in life and death, in every way. Thanks be to God for sending Jesus into this world in the fullness of time to serve as Savior of sinners. Are you thankful? Thankful before Him in the way of ever treasuring this Savior, Jesus Christ. And in the way of being thankful. Paul says in Romans 1:21 that the ungodly, they live not glorifying God, nor being thankful. They're not thankful, they're unthankful. Unbelievers see no beauty and value in Christ as Savior. And they don't see their own great need of Christ. And they live in pride and arrogance over against Christ. We are no better if we see value in Christ because of God's goodness to us. So we don't boast about ourselves. We just praise God for His grace. And this Sunday, thinking of God sending His own Son to serve as all-round, most splendid Savior for sinners like us, will you not also give thanks to God for Christ? That's what we're here for, aren't we? To give thanks? Thinking too of how Christ would give Himself so completely, even to the death of the cross, to save sinners like us. Will anyone here just shrug their shoulders in indifference and unbelief before Him? Not be convicted and converted before so great demonstration of love, so gracious, glorious gift as the unspeakable gift of God, the Savior. When it's well with our soul, you and I treasure this gift of Christ above all. And we thank God for this gift of God always, Jesus Christ. And thirdly, we then also seek ever to promote Him. To promote Him, yes, to help spread, gladly so even, the gospel about Jesus Christ and the good tidings of great joy in and through Him. And this point too is drawn from our text, from the context of 2 Corinthians 9. But you find it also in our reading of Luke chapter 2. All who ever meet Christ and come to know Him as Savior and Lord, the fruit always becomes, by God's grace and Spirit, then you want others to come to know Christ too. This explains the shepherds, as told in Luke 2, 17 and 20. When they had seen the Christ child, what did they do? They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And they went about afterwards glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. This explains too the call of Paul to the Christians in Corinth to be cheerful givers, as we read, for the cause of the Lord, for the ministry of the gospel in Corinth and around the world. In the context, Paul mentions, we read, how the Christians in Corinth were giving gladly. They were giving even from out of their poverty to be of assistance to others in Jesus' name. When we belong to Christ in truth, our joy becomes to help share the gospel of Christ and to make known the love of God in and through Christ, in word and deed, as God gives us opportunity. It becomes then just sheer delight to have a giving and forgiving spirit and a generous gospel-promoting, gift-giving mindset and practice with a Christian missionary outlook in all that we think and say and do. In Acts 20, verse 35, the Lord Paul mentions to the elders of Ephesus what he calls the words of the Lord Jesus, though we don't know where the Lord Jesus said this, but Paul knew this as the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, isn't this what we actually experience as confessing Christians? When zealous in God's service by God's grace, as we are about to end another year, and you think back to the times you could give for God's church and kingdom, and for the physical and spiritual needs of others around us, locally and abroad. Not only with your resources, but also with your time and talents. Has that not been a positive highlight also for you in this past year? Is it not something also eagerly to look forward to for the year ahead, as we are able, with God's blessing again, to give for His church and kingdom? What can be more delightful and of greater and far-reaching benefit than introducing others to Jesus Christ and making known to those around us something of His love in word and deed? May God so bless us also for the coming season and for all the years we live. Repeatedly giving, not grudgingly, no, but gladly. Gladly, for God and His glory, and for the needs of others, locally and across the world, in Jesus' name. Giving that love gift, reflecting something of the unspeakable, inexpressible love gift of God for us in Christ Jesus. So in conclusion, rightly responding to the gift of Christ, as we see when Jesus entered this world, come to seek and to save sinners. Rightly responding to that gift above all gifts means treasuring Christ's gift, or God's gift of Christ above all, and thanking Him always and promoting Him gladly as God yet gives us opportunity. And when we may do so, then we say, thanks be to God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. So now, in ending this sermon, I thought, how about if we repeat out loud, you with me, 2 Corinthians 9, 15. Let us make it a point of saying it also to each other, in our homes, and in our Christian fellowship with each other. And let us pray God it be a genuine expression of Christian faith and testimony, also from you and me and all of us together here now. Will you say it with me in spirit and truth? 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Let's do it again. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Yes, thanks, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.